Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Good morning. You may be seated. If you're a visitor here, if you're here for the first time, maybe church is a little bit different to what you're expecting. I don't know. But I don't think it's that weird that we get excited when we come together and celebrate what Jesus has done. I mean, you go to the footy and the crowd gets excited. I think we should be so much more excited in church. I've been to the Olympic Games. I've been to footy matches and Commonwealth Games, Olympic Games, and I reckon there's no more exciting place than being in church, worshipping our Saviour and King, Jesus Christ. And this morning, if it's a little bit weird for you, look, I hope it's okay, and I hope you're still enjoying yourself anyway. But my name's Andrew, and yeah, I'm the pastor here at the Christian Family Church, and it's Easter Sunday, and Jesus is alive. We celebrate it every day. We celebrate it every week, we celebrate it every year, but it's still so special. Jesus is alive. It's finished. Jesus has won the battle against sin and death once and for all. As we were reminded in the video we watched just a little bit earlier, just as Adam and Eve ignored God in the garden, and sin entered the world, and forever it has affected every person who ever lived. Now Jesus has come into the world he created, and he has given his life as a sacrifice for sin that every person who ever lived since has the hope of Jesus Christ. We can call on his name and know his forgiveness and life for eternity and in this life too. Amen? Amen. Amen. My message today, the title of my message and the question I want to ask you is just a little bit different to a typical Easter Sunday service message. But the question I want to ask and the title of my message this morning is, what did you do on Saturday? What did you do on Saturday? And I don't mean did you go bushwalking, did you go make some hot cross buns, did you go visit some friends, did you have the cousins visit? There's a few cousins visiting today and family and friends. But I want to explain the context of that question. But what did you do on Saturday? That's where we're going today. Jesus gave his life for all humanity on that Friday that we now know as Good Friday. And he rose again on the third day, just as he said he was going to do. But on the Saturday, the disciples were scattered. On the Saturday, the disciples were in hiding. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 26. And this is just before Jesus is, well, it's as Jesus is arrested. Judas has come with the soldiers to betray Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50-56. Let's read it together. It's on the screen. As Judas comes to betray Jesus, it says, Jesus said, "My friend." Every time I read that, it boggles my mind to know that Jesus knew Judas was just betraying him with a kiss, and he says, "My friend." I think in those two words, Jesus expresses his heart for every one of us. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, he invites us to come be his friend, to be a friend of God. Jesus says, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets, as recorded in the scriptures." At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Even those who had spent so much time with Jesus. They'd heard what he taught. They saw what he did. They'd seen the miracles he'd done. They'd seen the healings that he'd done. Those who were closest to Jesus deserted him and fled and went into hiding. To their credit, Simon of Cyrene, he's one of the guys standing by the side of the road as Jesus carried the cross. He carries the cross of Jesus when he could go no further. And Mary and the other women, they watched from a distance as Jesus was crucified, and they grieved at the crucifixion. But the disciples ran off and fled and went into hiding. And then it was Saturday. You know, Saturdays come in all different shapes and sizes, don't they? Some Saturdays you've got to work and it's busy. Some Saturdays you just got it packed full of fun stuff to do. You go and catch up with friends, you do things, you go places. Some Saturdays it's one of those catch your breath kind of Saturdays. You know, you get some lawn mowing done, you go out and, I don't know, maybe do some baking for the week ahead. Maybe you catch up on some washing and get some stuff done around the house. It's one of those catch up Saturdays. Other Saturdays, I love these ones, are those lazy Saturdays where you literally do nothing. Anyone love those kind of Saturdays? Anyone have one of them yesterday? God bless you. There's about three of you. Fantastic. And then there's the other extreme, isn't there? There's those lazy Saturdays where you're sitting at home. Kids, maybe you're sitting at home and you're thinking, Mom and Dad, can't we do something? Please, I'm so bored. Or maybe you're a parent and you sit at home on those days. Or maybe you're living alone and you're at home on a Saturday and it's just so quiet. It's a little too quiet. And you think, where are all my friends? I've got no friends. Don't put your hand up if you've been in that boat. But probably, anyway. It was Saturday. Jesus had been crucified. And before Easter Sunday, it was Saturday. It was a day of waiting. And right now, we live in a Saturday. It's a new Saturday. It's a new season of Saturday, of waiting. We live in a new Saturday, a new season of waiting. In case you're confused, I do know it's Sunday. It's Sunday today. But we're in a season of Saturday. It's a time of waiting. Just as Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to rise again on the third day, he has promised that he is coming back. He is coming back, and he's not coming to judge the world, not coming to die again for the sins of the world. He's already done that. That's finished. But he's coming to judge the world. He's coming as the righteous judge, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, it says. He's going to come and call all who have been faithful to come and be with him for eternity in heaven. I wonder if you've ever really, 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 really wanted something for your birthday. Anyone ever had something they just really, 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 really want for birthday, for Christmas? Come on, parents, be honest. Think back to that day, that thing you just really, really wanted, that brand new bike or whatever it might have been for you. And, you know, sometimes your parents are going to say no, and that's good, that's okay. Just don't get angry. But just imagine there's this thing you really, really want and your parents decide, actually, we're going to get this thing. And maybe it's something that you see somewhere one time and, you know, parents, that moment where it's like, you either buy it now or you're never going to get the chance again. So the kids are there and they know you're buying it, but you just buy it anyway because you know this is the one chance you've got to get this thing. Maybe it's like a once-in-a-lifetime purchase and you just buy the thing and they know, but bad luck. And kids, maybe you know Mum and Dad have got the thing. You drive home and you're just full of excitement. You get home and you're like, woo, I got that thing. And then they say, but you can't have it yet because it's not your birthday. And you're like, what? But you've already paid for it. You've bought it. It's in the cupboard. But you can't have it yet because it's not your birthday. It's not Christmas yet. Jesus has won the victory. He has already paid for our sin. He has paid the price that must be paid, that we can be free from sin and death for all eternity, that we can be in relationship with him forever. But it's in the cupboard, and we don't fully have it yet. We have a foretaste of the future glory. But this world is not all that God has for us. This world is still in sin and death. We live in a world that is so corrupted and decayed by sin and death. But it's in the cupboard. It's coming and it's been purchased, but we don't have the fulfillment, the wholeness of it yet. Have a listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 25. It says, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day, just like you were on your birthday when you knew it was in the cupboard. It's coming. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Wow, what a day it will be. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Amen, we do. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. And anyone who's got suffering or pain in their body, say, amen. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Christ's work is finished. He said on the cross, it is finished. He rose again victorious. It has been done, but it's not yet fully complete. But that day is coming. It's Saturday. Just like the disciples were waiting for Sunday, we're in a season of Saturday. Just like the disciples were waiting for Jesus to rise again, even though they kind of didn't understand it, they didn't get it, they'd lost hope, they'd forgotten what he'd said. Only we know what's going to happen. We know what Jesus is going to do, and he will be faithful to what he's promised. But maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, Andrew, but do we really know that Jesus is coming back? How do we know that he's actually going to do what he said? You know, as a conservative estimate, if you read through the Old Testament, there is, conservatively speaking, at least 300 different prophetic things spoken about Jesus' life, death, resurrection, his conception, his birth, the things he did, the way he died. Over 300 things, and you could probably double that number if you explore all the different prophetic things in the Old Testament about what Jesus was going to do. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but Andrew, they just made all that stuff up afterwards. They kind of just wrote it afterwards and made it to fit his life. No. These are the writings that were written hundreds of years before Christ came, written over many, many centuries by over 20 different authors. And yet his life, his conception, the place he was born, the things that he could not control, his life, death, and resurrection fulfilled every single one of those prophetic things spoken about the Messiah that was to come. Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again. He came to life, and he has promised that he is coming back. He's coming to judge the living and the dead. And we will all face our righteous judge. The only question is, for us, in this Saturday, in this season of waiting for the fulfillment to come, how are we going to respond? Are we going to be like the disciples who kind of see what's happening in the world and go, it's just all too much, and we just kind of run away and go into hiding? Are we going to see the world and what's happening and go, this is too scary, I'm just going to go and kind of, I believe in God, I'm just going to do life with him and it's all going to be okay? Or maybe we don't know if it's going to be okay even. Do we go into hiding? Do we give up? or do we continue to trust in our Saviour? Have a listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. It says, "Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing, and we've all been in that place. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God." There's a line to hang on to. We are never abandoned by God. "We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies." Church, we are broken, sinful people. But God wants to come and fill us. God wants to fill us with His presence. He wants to fill us with His love. He wants to fill us with the light of His presence, that we might live for His glory, that we might shine His love to this broken, hurting world. We are like fragile clay jars. We are broken. We're cracked. We're messed up by sin. But Jesus wants to come and live inside of us. He wants to shine His love through you and out of you, that the world would know God's love and His grace because of the hope you have in Him. Have a think for a moment about a stained glass window, like those beautiful stained glass windows behind me, maybe. So many broken pieces of glass, but put together by a master craftsman. God wants to do something beautiful in and through you. He wants to join us together as broken, sinful people. He wants to join us together and shine through us for His glory. He wants to join us together as His church, His holy temple, to shine out the love of God to this world. You might think, "Andrew, I'm too broken. I'm too far gone. I am like crushed sand, no longer glass." But no one is too far gone for God. No one is too far gone. You are never beyond His reach. You are never beyond Him being able to use you for His glory. Because you know what they make glass out of? Sand. Maybe you think, "You know what, Andrew, I love it, but you know, the church has drifted. The church isn't too messed up. The church is God's vehicle to take the love of God to this broken world." And we need to pray for the church around the world, that we would stand for truth, that we would stand for God's gospel of grace and love and mercy, of repentance, of salvation by faith. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, that we would stand up and let the love of God shine through us in an extraordinary, beautiful way for the glory of God. I want to read another passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as I do, just going to ask the band if they would come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Let's not judge each other the way the world judges each other. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know, the fulfillment of what God has done is in heaven, but that new life has already begun in Christ if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ today. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, and even right now, if you've never talked to God, if you've never put your trust in Jesus before this morning, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who acknowledges that I am a sinner, and God, I need your mercy, I need your grace, I need your forgiveness. Anyone who turns to him will be set free. And the moment you pray that prayer, your old life is gone. You are a new creation headed for glorious heavenly places for eternity. God's desire is that we would simply shine for his glory now, that others too might know the hope that we have in him. Jesus gave his life for every single one of us. Every person who ever lived. And we may feel unworthy. We may feel like one of those disciples who's run off and done our own thing, that we've fled. We're not worthy. We don't deserve it. We've been unfaithful. But God is faithful and God has made us new. I wonder if you can say that about yourself today. God, you have made me new. And I want to give you the glory. The team are going to lead us in a song in a moment. Ask if the communion stewards would come and hand out communion as we finish the service this morning. We're going to take communion together. I just encourage you to hold the biscuit and the cup. As the stewards come and hand it out, we're going to hold it together. And then when we're ready, we're going to eat and drink together. And this morning, if you're a visitor, we invite you to join us. But as you take the biscuit, as you receive the cup and the biscuit, by the way, it's gluten-free, it's non-alcoholic grape juice. If those things are a problem, you can take it and receive it today. But as you receive it this morning, I want you to receive it and just in your heart say, thank you, Jesus, that you lived, you died, and you rose again, that I could have the victory because of what you've done for me. As you receive the biscuit, as you receive the cup, just in your heart, just say, thank you, Jesus, that you did that for me. I want to read one last scripture from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 51, talking about when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, returns in his glory, when he comes to judge the living and the dead. It says this in verse 37. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. And I didn't watch the movie last night on TV, but just in case you did, that is not the biblical storytelling of the When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put the servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating other servants and partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As I was preparing, I'm thinking, Andrew, that's a pretty somber note to finish on. But this is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father but by Him. And the world needs to know Him. And as we hold the biscuit and the cup this morning, let's give ourselves to Him and be one of those faithful servants who feeds those lost sheep, that goes out and loves the lost, that they too might know His love, His grace, and His mercy. We're in a season of Saturday, but Sunday is coming, that glorious day when Jesus is coming back. I'm going to let the team just lead us in the first part of this song, then we're going to eat together once everyone's received. Let's just think about and thank God for all that He has done for us. Thanks, guys.